What's up? This is me, Marcus. And that's me with my What the Fact podcast. So, what's the purpose of the What the Fact podcast? The purpose is I'm here and want to talk about things that I'm heavily into, need to be taught, and I want to say what the fact's wrong with it. And what the fact's wrong with is a huge thing, with a huge topic, and the interesting topic I want to talk about today is a thing I'm playing right now, because I'm playing Here Comes the Pain. So, the thing I want to talk about today is, what the fact's wrong with WWE wrestling? And there's been huge problems about this. And not just this year, because years gone. So, what is the problem with it? I'm going to talk about it right now. So, we have a huge problem here. And what is it? They can't reach the fans. That's what we can say. They have huge problems in the ratings. And not just that, in their people that are watching it, in the height of people are watching it. I mean, Raw once has been watched by 4 million people, I think, then 3 million people, now under 2 million people. SmackDown has lost the same amount of people. So, what is the problem? I think we can watch it back in a huge big way. Let's say like that. I think in 2005 I started watching wrestling really deep. I think it was back in school then, 8th class, I think it was. From now on, I've been 15 then, and if you look at it, I think it was like that time. And then it was a big problem that that WWE once all liked in my class, all of them liked WWE, and then they hated it all. The problem was that WWE had a really short reign of importance in my class. But if you're a fan, you're a fan since moment one, and I really loved it. It was the sort of, I mean, mother watched shitty shows, and so I started watching it and I liked it. So what is the problem? Was that they did a well job then. I mean, WWE wrestling from 2005 to 2010 was really good. They did it really good. So, you know, in that time, I think WrestleMania 23 was in 2005, 2004. I don't know it right. Take the big fight between John Cena and JBL. They did this fight for over a year or something. I mean, John Cena had won the United States Championship title at WrestleMania 20, and then there was this shot. At WrestleMania 20, John Bradshaw Layfield has fought in a tag team title match with Farouk as the Echolancer's APA. And then you'll see what would happen, because he hadn't had this beard anymore and he knew there would be something. So he knew there would be a big, big thing. Let's say like it is, he didn't do it. He absolutely knew it, but till now, if you watch on it, you would know that there would be something. So at these days, if you watch it, it would be absolutely interesting. And then there's this whole thing with Farouk, and over a year, and I think, I don't know, right, over some month after this, there was JBL not being a member of the APA and being a known character. Sorry. A perfect heel. And then John Cena lost the... And then he found his faction. JBL found his faction. Then John Cena lost the United States Championship to JBL. They destroyed it, the spinner belt, and brought it to the real belt to Orlando Jordan. And they made this whole thing over some months being the absolute quiver, absolutely top of this whole story at WrestleMania. Between JBL and John Cena in a bloody match, John Cena won with the FU. Not the attitude adjustment, the FU, which was absolutely great. And the perfect thing was at SmackDown vs. Raw 2006, they had this FU1 and FU2, these two ways of the FU, and the finishes of John Cena have been the FU1 and FU2, and FU2 has been the great finishing name in all of wrestling. FU2. So but this was just some little rewinding shit. When I go to that, they built this whole thing of a whole year. If you take it like that, at WrestleMania 20, you seen that something was different with Bradshaw. Maybe it has been some weeks before we tried to establish it, but then it's a whole lot amount of better, because you've seen that they really had ideas that they started to turn at this WrestleMania. So you've seen at this WrestleMania that and JBL didn't have a chance at the tag team championships, so it was one way for them to say, oh my god, we didn't work good at each other. Then there was the segment where Farouk has lost his job at WWE and JBL was found. This was all of the stuff with Theodore Long, that said, I want to do this that way. And if you look at like that back a little bit more, you've seen that the same thing was done with Theodore Long. I mean, there was this one big segment with the draft where Bischoff and Heyman have been at Raw, and where they did this big draft segment, and where everyone said a shit, or maybe I completely throw it around in a completely different way, where Theodore Long has been drafted to SmackDown, and you know right now, if you're watching back, that Theodore Long will be the gentleman of SmackDown later for years, I think maybe 10 years, with some shit that happened with Vicky Guerrero, but in between. But you know what I mean? They plan everything for years to come. And then, if you look it back at this
especially thing, particularly thing, we're now, where we've been right now, that Cena turn against JBL at WrestleMania 21. You've seen that. That's all worked out for them over years. That's a wonderful. So what I meant is that they planned it like that for over a year. So they did these things, these rivalries over years. And if you play SmackDown vs. Raw 2006, maybe you see this, how hard this can be. I mean, they did this really heavy, and maybe it's easy to make a whole rivalry over a year, but if I remember WWE in that times, I always remember that they did these things over a year, and it was normally to do this. It was their stuff of doing this. It was their stuff of saying, I want to do this and I want to go that way. And if you ask me right now, I would say that there was a special way of treating this shit. And there's a special example for that. And this example is always be the rivalry between Kane and MVP and The Undertaker and Ken Kennedy. Has anybody ever looked at that? I think it was in, I don't know, I don't want to lie, it was 2007, I think. I don't know it, but I think it was 2007, 2008, 2006. No, I would say between 2006 and 2007. In that time, I'm not really good in this, really. You need to know that about me. And sometimes I'm not really good at that. I think it was 2007. There was this big rivalry between Ken Kennedy and The Undertaker, and Ken Kennedy has been a talent, I think, between 2006 and 2007, and they built him and they did him, and in the beginning Ken Kennedy was absolutely that, what you would believe, he was this man that was thought, I'm the greatest one, and he lost against every big one, and they let him go against all the people that has been each bigger, and he always lost, like The Miz in the beginning, when The Miz, in the same time The Miz came to WWE, and after being in he's wrestling in a viral wrestling, I think, and he been to SmackDown, which has always been, and this time SmackDown has been the for over years, if you watch it, the training center for Raw, which was the top product always, which has been interesting, because sometimes one time after the feud, after being a part of Booker T's guard, Finlay has been in Raw for some months, which has, I think, never really worked out. So, you all know it, that Ken Kennedy really fast had a feud with The Undertaker and MVP, which arrived some months later, which had, and if you allow me to show this putting two fingers of every hand down, one of Shade's biggest contract in SmackDown history. And I did this for 5 or 6 times while I said it. He had this really big beard, and I think when he made his debut,
Theodore Long introduced him by himself, and I never understood it. I mean, I've never been into independent wrestling at these days, and so MVP came around, and it's been for long years in WWE after that. But his first feud was, I think, his first big feud was been against Ken's first big feud of Ken Kennedy has been against The Undertaker. I would say that, I mean, MVP had a wonderful feud against Chris Benoit, and then a WrestleMania 23 match against Chris Benoit after that. But I would say there was this unbelievably interesting feud against Undertaker and Kane, which have all both been at SmackDown, and I think Kane has been drafted to SmackDown before. So these both have been working against Kane and The Undertaker, and always been looking out for the next SmackDown. WrestleMania 23. So if you watch all of this, even if they haven't had, I mean, they had stories that worked for a whole year, like this Randy Orton stuff against The Undertaker some years before, like at WrestleMania 20, Randy Orton against The Undertaker. Sorry, I've been completely wrong. Sorry, WrestleMania 21, Undertaker vs Randy Orton stuff, or other stories we told. JBL against John Cena, working against at WrestleMania 21. They had all this stuff working out. I mean, that really going in a different direction. I mean, they have different storylines. I mean, there are storylines that worked for a whole year with some different stuff between, and then there are storylines that worked for some months, like which was the second step after those storylines has worked for a whole year to make the second highest step, which was, in my thinking, MVP against Kane or Kane Kennedy vs The Undertaker, because this whole feud went 3 months, I think. I would say 3 months. I mean, we had 4 weeks where it. I think if I think about it again, as a child, because I've been 16 or 17, or 15, 16, when I watched it the first time, you had all them. Kane and MVP going along for weeks, where Kane showed MVP how good he was and how good he could destroy him and how much he liked it. And then after some weeks, Kane Kennedy and MVP started going against the Powers of Destruction in some segments. Then they had a tag team match at the next pay-per-view, which they absolutely lost. And then he had victories for the underdogs. You had this unbelievably great cage match that MVP has won against Kane, which was unbelievable. Kane Kennedy that really worked out his way as a heel. He never could really forfeit till the end, because he really had a steroid scandal, and which, I mean, can you imagine how much has worked out, and absolutely how much it would have been gone when Ken Kennedy would have been Vince McMahon's son, and that have been the interesting storylines going back all the way. That's the first thing that really doesn't work for WWE right now. The storylines look like they build it from 1 week to the other, maximum from two pay-per-views to another. So let's say if they have two pay-per-views in a month, like 10 years before, or maybe sometimes they have
house shows and two pay-per-views in 1.5 months. Or in 1 month. It's completely strange that some unbelievably interesting things that don't work out because they are not really planned. I mean, there are some things they really did well. Daniel Bryan against Randy Orton, which really worked out to WrestleMania, but then, yes, right now, Daniel Bryan with Eric Rowan. It all worked out to WrestleMania, and after WrestleMania, we didn't see Daniel Bryan. Then, some weeks again, he had his. If he ever had a rematch, I don't really know right now because it really didn't really fit on. And they really pass it on. Then Kevin Owens should go to WrestleMania against Daniel Bryan. Has anyone ever declared that Kevin Owens should not go? Kevin Owens should go, and there was this match that Kevin Owens Kofi Kingston lost, and it was this match that New Year won. It was at WrestleMania. Was there ever some glimpse that said that Kevin Owens should go? I don't know it. I mean, if there was something, I didn't see it because it always seemed like. Okay, we changed that some hours ago. Then Kevin Owens went against Kofi Kingston, and then there was in a really special way. Then there was Dolph Ziggler that really hasn't been here for months. That went back, and then he had a chance. How the hell? I mean, that's an interesting question that I got. Where did matches went? I mean, I think it was 3 months ago where I thought, where did the Monk Contenders matches went? And then they've been back in an interesting duration way, in a slow way. I thought, okay, there's been no Monk Contenders match for some tag team titles or for that title, and we had it some weeks ago for the Universal title, but I think it's then it makes no sense because for the Universal title you had this one contender that's been Universal Champion before, which has a rematch clause normally in his contract. So what happened to these things that the business made its rules to it? They don't look at its rules because normally it's been like that. There's been the Money in the Bank winner. He wins the Money in the Bank ladder match. Then he goes against Smudge Champion. How they did it with Brock Lesnar was interesting and funny and interesting on television, but it made no fucking sense because no one before Seth Rollins has done that, and Seth Rollins did it interestingly in going on matches and trying to be the number one contender for a championship. Besides, he had the 24/7 contract, and then there was Brock Lesnar doing this shit in a really interesting and assumed way, and then we all been in a good mood when he really cashed in his contract and being the Universal Champion again, which we all hated. But we have been normal, and then there was a normal contenders match, but a week later in Raw, which Seth Rollins won. But why did he have this normal contenders match? He was the normal contender for the title because he lost the match. He was the legitimate champion before. Why did he need a normal contenders match? So they did this match when they didn't need it and didn't do the matches when he needed it. Where there was
Shinsuke Nakamura as number one contender for the Intercontinental title when he never had a number one contenders match? Or did he have a number one contenders? I don't know. I don't know if he had a number one contenders match. It didn't make no fucking sense. So, what is the purpose between that? They don't follow their own rules, which is the next problem. First problem was have been the storm downs. Next problem has been that they don't follow their own rules. And then it's the next problem that they don't really build up their people right. And if they build it right, they are copies of old WWE superstars. I mean, Kevin Owens is Stone Cold Steve Austin of the 90s. We know it all. It is like that. He does a stunner. I mean, they did this once much better. They did this a lot better. But over the years, you had Seth Rollins that did the pedigree because he's been a big fan of his teacher, Triple H, which was a pedigree master. So they did this in a worse way before, but right now they don't do it a lot of better in showing that Dolph Ziggler is a copy of Shawn Michaels, in showing that Kevin Owens is a copy of Steve Austin. So what is the purpose then when they always do the same people after another? Is this wrestling anymore? Is this good wrestling anymore? If this all would be a TV series, I don't think that I would like it if I would see the same person with the same plot 10 years again later. So this is a huge problem in WWE. Maybe no one is interested about. This is a huge problem. I need to change them. They did it better. And then it's the next problem that they see that there's concurrence, that there are contenders, that they need to do something. So they did Eric Bischoff and Paul Heyman. And Paul Heyman does his job at Raw, but Eric Bischoff doesn't at SmackDown. So Vince McMahon sees SmackDown as his personal home, so he always changes it one moment before the show. Is this funny? It is not, no. Do we like this? No. Can we do something about it? No. So, this is us standing here in 2019, seeing that Vince McMahon does take the last straw out of his control he got before trying to rebuild XFL, which will maybe absolutely don't work, because NFL is as strong as ever before, and as dumb as he will look like he looks, he's going absolutely on to against NFL. We've seen it in him wanting to buy fight.com. We've seen it in him wanting to fight UFC and put all the wrestlers of UFC into wrestling ring, which did not work out because of Shane McMahon told him that he would like see UFC on the WWE flag. But no. So that said no. So we're here, 2019. Wrestling has been as worse as years before. Say Vince McMahon is the biggest maybe asshole of in wrestling for years. If he really tries going against All Elite Wrestling, which is the savior of wrestling, it doesn't mean that Vince McMahon is an asshole, but he's an eccentric person. There's been a story I heard that Jim Cornette has been the era of WWE wrestling in Ohio Rally Wrestling over years, and that's when he brought Vince McMahon, Brock Lesnar, Batista, John Cena, and a lot of more stars. And Vince McMahon just called him once and thanked him because of Gene Snitsky. And this person is really an absolutely lunatic. Because John Cena, great. Batista, great. Brock Lesnar, great. Gene Snitsky, that did an interesting feud with Kane over a dead baby. Thank you. So I don't want to tell that this is a thing that really makes it crazier, but I say, you know what? If that means that, I mean, if that means that all of them need to get back together to fight WWE, I'm absolutely in. That means that we need to be frightened of WWE. Absolutely, I'm in. So AEW, stay focused and stay careful. And these people right now really have a piece of metal in their back or being stabbed. I hope so. So have a nice evening. This was Marcus Answer with us. Interesting What the Fact podcast.